Do you need the pineapple corer? Or can you just use a sharp knife and a little bit of skill? Do I need my cherry pit? Do I need this cherry pitter? It's a disaster. You put a cherry in here, it's a bloodbath. Or I could just gently use my knife and or my fingers and squeeze out those cherries.
Welcome to Chef Over Your Shoulder, our podcast about the connections we make through cooking. Pairing professional chefs Jody and Kirsty from the Culinary Studio with me, a burn to the bottom of the pan expert, creates the perfect recipe to demystify the kitchen and bring back the joy of cooking without the pressure. Are your kitchen drawers overflowing with tools you never use? Well, today we're talking about kitchen gadgets and the tools that actually spark joy versus the ones that are just gathering dust. We discuss the absolute essentials that every home cook should own, including a bouquet of strainers and the right pair of tongs. Jody and Kirsty share the magic of a microplane, the importance of a Y peeler, and why you should recycle your pasta grabber immediately. They also reveal who rolls out dough and cookies with a rolling pin and who does it with a wine bottle. I learned a lot in this episode and even added a few new kitchen gadgets to my wish list. We hope you do too. I'm excited for today because we're talking kitchen gadgets and we're talking a bit of organization and we're going to get some new ideas. So I'm pretty excited about that. I pulled out my drawers again and took some photos similar to the pantry. So we'll have some fun with that. But of course, first, the real question is, I want to know what both of you cooked last week.
Oh, well, you know what? It's so funny. We were talking about this yesterday. Someone's asked my husband, oh, do you cook a lot? He said, no, there's no time. There's no time for anybody else to cook, really. We often, if we have a busy week with our online cooking classes, we're eating what the people want and what I'm making for a class. So that was last week. We had gumbo 3 days in a row. We had paella. But the one thing that wasn't class related that I ate just as a standalone was potatoes. Just potatoes. I went to the market, got some. I feel like these potatoes, and Jody, you see them, they have the dirt on them, and there's a Mennonite selling them from the ground. And I feel like that's all I need for a meal. I just feel like they're so nutrient dense.
You just have to share that recipe for the best roasted potatoes. We'll just we'll write a blog post about it.
The link will definitely be in the show notes.
Yeah, with a mayo and ketchup dipper.
Ooh,
kind of my, what do they call it? Dark secret, midnight snack. There's a pile, a mayo and a ketchup, and I get an equal amount of both for sure.
Ooh, do you mix those?
Oh, Jody, no, I want the exact right ratio of ketchup and mayo on each potato piece.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a fine art.
Fine art. Love it.
And what about you, Jody? What did you eat last week?
So I had a dueling soup.
Ooh.
So what happened is my kids like to go grocery shopping with me because they feel like I don't have enough food in my house. And I do, but it's not convenient food. Two of my four went grocery shopping. One was like, I need this cheese tortellini in my life. I need this. So I made a tomato tortellini soup the two soups, because my intention was to make a curry, a red curry dumpling and shrimp soup. So that was what I wanted to make. So I'm like, okay, I'll just do both. And we did both. One is for the next day. They are critics in my house. And I made them both, two soups, in about a half hour, and we went to sit down and eat. My daughter's like, I like a pureed soup.
What was your face? What emoji are you throwing on the screen?
You know what I did? I was like, I actually just gave her a smile. And I was like, hey, use the fine mesh strainer and strain your soup.
Oh, good segue, Jody.
But then I'm going to tell you this. Then I used another gadget afterwards. We ate that. And I don't know if she fine mesh strained or not. Don't really care if we ate the soup. And then I'm like, okay, I will blend the rest of it for you because I want them to be happy when they eat it. And let me tell you, I use my Vitamix. I love my Vitamix. Anyone tells me they've got anything else, I'm like, it's not a Vitamix. It blended up the bacon, like there was bacon in the soup, mirepoix, and I just whipped it all into this like silky, smooth, smoky tomato soup that was so delicious. And I said afterwards, I was like, sorry, you guys were right. I should have blended it from the beginning with all of that stuff in there. But yeah, that's what I made. And I used my gadgets to make it.
Wow, you sure did. That's amazing. And the strainer, I mean, we're going to get to that because my question on the strainer is you can buy like 12 different sizes. So like I wouldn't even know where to start with the strainer. So
buy 12 sizes. Yeah.
Okay, so you can buy 12 sizes. But really, what kind of strainer should I have that would help with lots of things?
So I'm gonna do two different ones, and I have to use my hand as a size. So here's the fine mesh strainer. It's the size. It's like romper room.
Romper room. That's exactly what I was thinking when you were doing that.
Yeah, I see Jody.
I see Amy.
So the size of my face. This is the one I use the most. I have a mini one and I have a bigger one. But if you're only gonna have one, get the romper room size. So now y'all know what we're talking about.
I actually have the romper room size. I feel pretty good.
Yeah. The other one and this is called a spider.
Okay. I was wondering what that was. Cause you talked about that. I don't know what does that do? That's different than the romper room strainer.
So this is an underrated tool in North American kitchens. It's used extensively in Asian kitchens. It is called a spider. There are French, Jody and I were taught in the French culinary world. So there are, you know, I would call them French versions if you will, Jody. I don't know exactly, but the Asian bamboo spider. So this handle is bamboo. This is probably 15 years old, maybe more. It still looks brand new. This is your savior for I'm taking pasta out of the boiling water and throwing it into my sauce. I'm deep frying fritters or donuts. I'm getting in there. I'm blanching broccoli. One of our, like, we could do a whole episode on blanched broccoli and why our kids ask for it. And you know why we love it? And you can see how I'm holding it right at the base. It weighs nothing. So I could use this all day long. So as a chef, we always keep that in mind. Like, what can you have in your hands for 8 hours? The bamboo spider.
Yeah, I have the French version of it. I don't know where I acquired this, but I use any number of these. So I think they're all essential. But it's a bouquet. It's like a chef bouquet of strainer.
Chef bouquet of strainer. I like it. Well, okay, that's a really, I'm excited already. I've already got like one thing to add to my list. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, and this is like an $18, like $10 to $20 life-changing purchase.
See, I already feel better because I love wandering through a good kitchen store, but really I would buy random things or not really know what to buy. And so I'm pretty excited about everything we're going to talk about today. And I'm already excited about my new strainer that's going to be so helpful. And both of you talk a lot about how a good kitchen tool sort of changes the game. So my immediate question is, ooh, give me your top three essentials. But Jody, you, when we were talking, you had such a great answer as to why there really aren't a top three essentials.
Yeah. And the strainer was an example, right? Like I don't want to give any one of you my bouquet up. So there's this great children's book called If You Give the Mouse a Cookie. And if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want a glass of milk. And if they want a glass of milk, they're going to want a straw. And then the story just goes on like that. And so with the chef, if you give the chef a knife, they're going to want a good cutting board. And if they have a good knife, they also need a steel to hone that knife. And if you're going to give them a steel, you might as give them a better pot to cook with. And if the pot, then they need to have the proper tools to use, wooden spoons, whisks, proper tongs. And if you give them all of that, they're going to need a baking sheet or a cookie sheet, as you might call it. And then they're going to need, you know, a rasp and a citrus squeezer and a bouquet of fine mesh strainers, right? They need all of that stuff. If your joy and your stress relief is in the kitchen, having the proper tools to do the job is is what you really do need. I remember I was 18, loving cooking, or maybe I was a bit older. I was in my early 20s, and I was gifted a rasp for Christmas, just a rasp. I was so excited. I'm like, oh my goodness, I still have it.
Well, let's start there because I don't know what a rasp is.
So there is often that, yeah, Jody's going to show her rasp. Also, it's like one of those things that's like Kleenex when, you know, tissue started to get known by its brand name. That's how we feel about the microplane, right? So it is a rasp.
Oh, I have one of those. Yes. I use it all the time. I didn't know that's what it was called. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So it was a woodworking tool.
Oh, cool.
The rasp, right? Microplane then took it and put on a nice handle. They've got funky colors. And it's, you know, used. What don't we use it for? Kirsty needs a new one because her husband grates a lot of ginger
frozen
with it.
That's a hot tip right there. Yeah, ginger. You can use it for frozen ginger. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And garlic and chocolate and nutmeg and cheese, right? My kid, this actually generally does not find its spot back in the drawer because it's used so often.
Yeah.
Wow. We only really use it for Parmesan, but now I'm going to add it to all the other things that we do. Okay, so the next thing I have a question about is tongs. I mean, we all have tongs. I have like four different kinds of tongs, and you guys said you need a really good pair of tongs. I'd like to know what that looks like.
Like, tongs are an extension of the hand, right? And I think I said earlier, a good tool you should be able to use for 8 hours without, you know, cramping or getting annoyed or whatever. I don't know how to explain that. I think tongs can be a pretty personal thing, Jody. I don't know. Like, I have three pairs like this. I hate tongs that have any sort of grip on them because things just slip out of them. And I don't have any sort of locking mechanism. I don't like that. I'm being really personal and chefy though.
No, but that's pretty cool that tongs are personal. Now, I guess when I saw your tongs, because they look stainless steel with nothing on the end, same with Jody, the nonstick pans, can you use that on the nonstick pans? I was always under the impression that you couldn't.
Well, I'm not chiseling my food out with my tongs. So.
So as long as you're gentle, because I was always under the impression is no, not allowed, period, right? I don't know where that comes from.
I do have a pair that have that on the bottom. I don't even know what brand they are. Should figure OXO. Sorry, they're OXO, not sponsored. Come on, OXO. My kids all use these. They use them in our, we do have a nonstick pan. I think we talked about it in our pots and pans episode, our all clad nonstick. My kids use and abuse it, but they know to use these tongs and like a wooden spoon. But as professionals, right, we're using this and we use a lot of stainless steel pans too, right? That's one of those things that I would take even to places over a knife roll. I am taking a knife roll with me.
Just going to say that, Jody. I've brought my tongs to people's homes because I'm like, I don't want to use your salad forks. Like salad spoons or whatever they're called make no sense. Like you use a tong. Hey, listen, speaking of like gadgets that we don't know names of, we recently threw on a video on TikTok and Instagram and it exploded with comments. And all I did was use a can opener to open a can of tomato juice. And then I inserted a knife to open that little part to pour out the juice.
I do that all the time.
Sure. And a lot of people were like, yeah, that's so like, if you grew up in the 80s, like this is how, but then people were like, you need to use the thingy, but nobody, it took like, I don't know, dozens and dozens of comments. And finally someone's like, it's called a church key. It's got the triangle. I can hear Jody rattling around her cupboards.
I can't find it. Interrupting the podcast.
Yeah. So insert image on the church key.
Yes. On one side, it was triangle. So it could pierce the Allen's apple juice or the tomato juice. And on the other side, it was a circle, so you could open your Labatt Blue Stubby, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about, there's a few other things on the list when I asked what, you know, what you find essential. Jody, you talked a little bit about some baking tools that we should have, need, useful. Tell me a little bit about those.
I'm going to say it's only if you're a baker, right?
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say these are essential only if they're a baker, because Christy's going to be like, I'm not even prompting her. I'm going to say rolling pin. She's going to say,
you can use a wine bottle.
And I'm going to say, you can't, right? But you can use a wine bottle. If I'm using a wine bottle, if I'm at a cottage and I'm all of a sudden making a pie, it's not happening. But I've got a French tapered rolling pin. I love it. I use it. We bake pies in my home. We bake, you know, all of these different things that I just need that rolling pin for. Kirsty, if it's not a stirrable dessert, like on the stovetop, she's not making it.
Yeah, like I might throw in a muffin like twice a year or something, but in general, no. Yeah.
So the rolling pin, I think, is essential. I do think you also need some good whisks, right? I've got a variety of them, because if you can make puddings, you can, you know, whip cream just for strawberries. You're making meringues for a top of a cake. So I do think you need a variety of whisks. And then a dough scraper. I've been making lots of breads and pizzas lately. They're very inexpensive. You can buy three for, I don't know, $2, $3. And they really come in handy for cleaning out those pots. You could do it with a rubber spatula, but I think one of those dough scrapers really works. Kirsty talked about donuts, right? You're making all of those donuts and cutting them with that dough scraper.
When we were running a business and we had staff cooking for us and whatnot, we would often hold this up and give this to them. And I'm holding up a spatula in front of my face, and we would say, here's your paycheck, right? Like, if you're not scraping out, you know, every last bit of batter or sauce or soup or whatever, like you're losing, like, you know, the profit margin is so slim in the restaurant industry, like this was yours. So I think this is one of the things that I can't live without. This is beside my tongs, Jody. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually understand all of the baking things that you said, Jody, because I have a dough scraper because I do make bread. Now, I have a whisk. I have lots of whisks. Did you guys see my melamine plastic whisk? And what do you think? It's my favorite tool, because in a regular whisk, I feel like all the stuff gets stuck in it, where nothing gets stuck in this thing. It's awesome.
You know what, how I feel is, if it's your favorite tool, it's your favorite tool, right? Like, I don't think there's a right or wrong.
We use it for everything. That's what I like about it. So it's my like everything tool. And then I have a rolling pin, of course, because actually the one thing I do make, I don't use it very often, but I make gingerbread every year.
Wow.
I know, people are often shocked. I've been doing it for almost probably 18 years. Jackson and I did it on a whim when he was like 2, and he had so much fun. And then it morphed into almost a pre-Christmas family and friends event with the kids, like whoever had kids the age or whatever. I'd pick like the Saturday before school got out or the day school got out, and they would rush home from school, and we would make gingerbread, and the parents would come, and it would be like a little pre-Christmas thing. And it's evolved, and it's so much fun. And that's what I use my rolling pin for.
That's amazing.
That's the best part, right? Like, there are certain things that bring that memory of the family. And I think that, yeah, they're really special and important in the kitchen.
Now, I do try different recipes. I'm not tied to a recipe. Do you have a favorite gingerbread recipe?
Oh, I have Jody's that we make every year, but it's not, I wouldn't call it gingerbread. Would you, Jody? It's like a ginger molasses cookie.
Yes, sorry, gingerbread. I mean gingerbread, not gingerbread, gingerbread men. Yes, I have all the cutting things. I've got Star Wars cutting things and Harry Potter cutting things and Christmas cutting. I've got it all. We make cookies for hours, and my kitchen has sparkles and sprinkles all over it, and it's awesome. So yes, it's ginger molasses cookies, and I'm always looking to try new recipes.
Jody's recipe is amazing. She created this ginger molasses cookie for me, I think, because there's spices in it that I like, and I just wanted it. And you can learn how to make it. We have it in an upcoming online cooking class, December 22nd. Amy, join us with your kids, or kids can do it on their own.
That's awesome. Yes, that's fantastic. Everybody should do that. And then they'll have cookies for Christmas. I didn't even know you had a class coming up. Not even planned, guys. Okay, so baking, that's very helpful. The baking thing, I don't have to add anything to my list because I have all of those things, which I'm pretty excited about. We have had some spirited and funny little discussions about cutting boards. So why don't we talk cutting boards?
Oh, yeah. You know, we have, because you mentioned, it's so obscure, Amy, what you mentioned, the material of a cutting board was made out of a few weeks ago that I can't even remember it.
So somebody gave me, out of the goodness of their heart, but because they had read an article and they thought it would be helpful for, you know, germs. And obviously there's a lot of talk around plastics and I have a lot of plastic cutting boards. I do have some wood ones too. Stainless steel cutting boards.
Right. That was it. I'm like, what?
And I was sort of taken aback because, I mean, I asked you, can I use a tong in a nonstick pan? I mean, this is where my head's at. So of course I'm like, I'm not putting a knife on that thing, but maybe I was wrong. I don't really know. But then I asked both of you and that we all circled back more to wood, I think is where we all end up on the cutting board, right?
I think the answer to all questions in the kitchen would be like, what would my grandma do? Or what would my grandfather have done? They had wood cutting boards. They had a wood cutting board and it would, you know, like almost have a divot in it because they cut so much with it. It was gentle on their knives. This is a knife from my grandmother's, right? And she sharpened it with a little piece of ceramic, like the back of a broken ceramic plate. And I have it and it's so, so sharp, right? I've got a big, almost a butcher's block style cutting board sitting here. Kirstie's going to grab hers and show hers. That's what you need. In professional kitchens, though, they need to go through a sanitizer, a high heat sanitizer. So plastic is where it's at. Anything metal, anything glass is going to kill that knife of yours. You buy a good quality knife and you might as well not even bother with it if you're going to cut on steel or cut on glass.
We had the pullout. We had the pullout cutting board from our cupboard, but then no one would clean it, so then it would just be like crumb city. Like it was like a little knob, and it would pull out. We'd cut our bread, and then we wouldn't even freaking wipe it. We would just shove it all back in there. Like I don't even know where those
no
crumbs
sanitizing.
Went.
There you go. I am going to say your mom would have cleaned it. It would have been you and your brothers that didn't. You're like, ooh, I can just slip that back in there. You know,
right,
toast dust and butter and everything on there. But yeah. The mamas clean those cutting boards, right?
Always clean. Now, when we're talking about cleaning the wood cutting board, can we use soap and water? Should we use soap and water? Should we use raw chicken or raw poultry or anything on the wooden cutting board? Talk to me a little bit about that.
You know what? Can I field this question, Jody? Because I was at my husband's butcher shop the other day, and they have a massive wooden chopping block. And they salt it every night. So they soap it, they water it, and they sprinkle it liberally with kosher salt. It's like a natural antibacterial kind of, and they leave it overnight and then they get up the next day. And also the grit, I think, because Colby did that with my cutting board too. He's like, what you were talking about before, Jody, the little divot. And then he put the salt on and just kind of rubbed it just to kind of even it out a little bit. I've had the same wooden cutting board for a good long time. And yeah.
That's really brilliant, right? No, yeah. Nothing is growing in like a really salty environment.
Like, I love that. And you just rinse the salt off the next day, I assume. You don't need soap again.
Yeah. Yeah. They just rinse it off the next day. And so I do soap and water. This is the wooden cutting board I've had for 100 years. I soap and water it, but yeah, every once in a while, yeah, the little salt on there, or we wax them too. We use beeswax, just to give the wood some, so it doesn't get too dry. Right. But at the end of the day, this is the key takeaway: wood breathes, right? Plastic will, and any other material will kind of trap and harbor bacteria. Wood breathes. I don't know what Jody might have to science, give me my science words there, but.
Well, there's salmonella in chicken, right? Like there's all different types of bacteria that can grow. Salmonella in chicken is definitely one of them and the one that people are really afraid of. So yeah, I love the scrubbing with the salt and the like hot soapy water first to just get everything off and make it clean. And I shouldn't say clean, it's clean. Then the salt to as an antibacterial thing rather than chemicals, right? Like, again, let's go back to grandma, right? They didn't have, you know, all of these bottles and potions and jars. They had, you know, soap. Sometimes they made it, right? And then they had salt. So they would use the salt as to clean things up.
Going back to our grandparents is always a good barometer of what can we accomplish without maybe the chemicals and the plastics and things like that. We can't do everything, but if we can do something, it's probably a good idea.
And yeah, I'm not throwing out all modern day conveniences and wanting to live in the 1930s and 40s again. But what I am saying is, like, do I need this bouquet of strainers? No, I do need one. I do need one of them.
Do you need the pineapple core?
Let's talk pineapple core.
Or can you just use a sharp knife and a little bit of skill? Do I need my cherry pit? Do I need this cherry pitter? It's a disaster. You put a cherry in here, it's a bloodbath. Or I could just gently use my knife or my fingers and squeeze out those cherries.
So let's talk about one use items, because when we talked about doing this episode, we kind of have both sides. There's maybe a couple one use items, especially Kirsty, that you like, but for the most part, one use items are not on your favorite list. And I'll talk to you a little bit about the pineapple core. We just found it this summer.
Oh, it's a new item.
A must buy.
A new item. I don't often buy new items. I will tell you, people gift me things that I don't find value in using, and they go right downstairs, like the Instapot, whatever the latest thing is. Most of it's for the kids. So this is how it started. So Jackson came home and, you know, he's like, I love pineapple now. I want to eat the pineapple. And you talked a little bit about, you mentioned knife and skill. Well, we were missing the skill part and I really didn't want anybody to lose a finger. And he did the research and found it. And so that's why we have it, because it took him 3 seconds to make to cut the pineapple, cut the top off. You twist it in and pull it out and it comes out in rings is what it does. So it comes right out in rings. And I kind of, you know, I acquiesce, because this kid was working so hard this summer. He's up at 6 going to the gym and he just wants to eat the pineapple before he goes. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take that one use item. But I'm with you, because there's a lot of one use or things that I think I can accomplish with what I already have. And so I do get that piece of it. So why don't you guys talk to me a little bit about what one use items you find value in and what we can do without, perhaps?
I have one here. And the one use item that I find value in is my oyster shucker.
Wow.
We have been like, oh crap, we don't have one. And you're hard pressed. Like, we got a screwdriver. Like, you really are hard pressed to find a substitute for an oyster shucker. So that's my one. I have two one use. I also have, Jody, you talked about getting a gift when you were 18 years old. My brother got me a pair of poultry shears, 18th or 19th birthday. And they are a little bit multi-purpose, because sometimes I have to use them for like really tough flower stems. They're good out in the garden. But for a quick and easy meal, you cut the back out of your chicken. You can roast a chicken in like 45 minutes. So those are my two.
I'm going to argue this one. We call it essential, but I think it just has one use, right? Like, this is for citrus. We use it for lemons, limes. I don't feel complete if I don't have fresh citrus in my house. Did we talk about useless items yet? Everyone has it. And if you don't, let us know.
Oh, the pasta grabber. Is it called a pasta grabber?
Yeah, that's what this is. It's like mine has dust on it. Because it was in the back of a drawer. And I'm like, why? I was just going through to find, you know, stuff to show today. And I'm like, everyone gets this in that set, right? Right when you got married or when you move out, they give you that crock that you don't want to display on your counter. But when you've got nothing, you display it because you feel so bougie and like grown up when you've got all of these utensils.
It grabs like 4 spaghetti strands at a time. Like, I don't understand.
This is what you can use. You need your strainer, your fine mesh strainer, and your tongs.
Jody, why don't we just take this moment to walk yourself over to your, I think you could probably recycle it. Let's Marie Kondo that item out of your life if it's not sparking joy.
No joy at all.
I have this spoon here. It's got like a hole in it and it's got this tip and it gives me so much joy when I made chocolate pudding the other day. We'll talk about that in another episode. Every once in a while, I feel a little, you know, real grandma like, and this is the spoon for that. And like, it's like, it sparks joy.
Well, this has been so fantastic. Gadgets are fun, and I always love to learn a little bit more about what to do in the kitchen, but this has been so useful. So there's going to be a huge list of things, because you guys have a fantastic Amazon store where we can get all of this stuff that we've talked about. And I've put a bunch of it on my list because it just made so much sense. Like the strainers, I'm getting a bouquet of strainers. That's what I'm getting.
You are, Jody. Side note, Amy's Christmas present.
Send it to Stephen today.
Can we give a shout out to a couple of our favorites?
Yes, please. Let's do that before we go.
Right, yeah, before we go, because there's some things on this list that we didn't talk about. And this is just like, this is pure Sparks joy, but just my little baby mini things, right? Like, you know, these are totally useless, but fun, right? Like these, this is like a salt spoon.
I make sugar cinnamon with that side spoon when I mix the two together. That's what I do with it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And then the whisk, if we're whipping up like, you know, a chicken satay with peanut sauce, we're whisking with just the baby whisk is nice to have on hand. Kirsty, where is it? I think that this deserves an honorable mention.
My baby spatula, you know, although it is super cute, it is super useful for what we were talking about before, scraping every little bit of sauce into a container or whatnot. Jody, end with that. That is my desert island. If I'm taking it camping, it's important. And that's one of them.
The Y Swiss Mart peeler. Yeah.
Yes.
The scalpel peeler. It's super sharp, right? You're peeling any of your fruit, your potatoes. You can make ribbons of zucchini and carrots and what else?
Butternut squash. That's how I learned to like butternut squash. I made ribbons and sauteed them in butter.
And it's better than the longer peeler?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's holding it properly. I know I'm holding this, but if this was this, I would hold it, anchor my thumb to the bottom, right? And then peel around. You need this. This is where it's at. Again, not sponsored yet, Swissmar, but we love this Y peeler.
You can find us at theculinarystudio.ca.
So that's, I just kind of thought it was, you know, you pick one or the other, but I feel like there's so much more use for the Y one. So I'm also very excited about that.
Again, one more shout out, Kirsty, right? Kirsty does not really believe in plug-in gadgets, but this last year she purchased one, and yeah, go ahead.
It was a little mini chopper. So yeah, good honorable mention to the mini chopper, because we make a lot of curries, a lot of pestos, or things like that. So you're whipping things up. In our cooking classes, we always try to get people an amazing meal in a timely manner. And so the addition of the mini chopper has really helped, you know, take away some of that chopping time for ginger, garlic, you know, whatnot. And I've embraced it as well.
Yeah. I use, like, full circle, you know, we talked about what we were cooking at the beginning of the day. That was essential for making two soups in a half hour, to getting those two soups, that mini chopper, that was all my garlic and ginger was in there. And I'm so proud of Kirsty for liking it. Like, I've got every gadget here. My husband's like, I inherited a lot of gadgets when I married him. And Kirsty's like the minimalist, but the fact that she embraced the mini chopper means it is very much a game changer in your cooking.
Thank you. And again, everything will be in the show notes, on the blog, and on the Amazon store. So if you're looking to pick up any of these gadgets, check it out. Thank you for joining us in the kitchen today. If you'd like to know more about what we talked about, including recipes, recommendations, and links to Jody and Kirsty's full selection of online classes, you can find everything in the show notes or visit the Culinary Studio website. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast and take a moment to leave us a review. Chef Over Your Shoulder is a member of the Bespoke Productions Hub podcast network. Happy cooking!